Speaking of chilled, there's a little chill in the back of my spine because in 2033, I will be 61 years old and I will be on the cusp of finally reaping some of the spoils of my labor over a lifetime. And yet, alas, when I go to the TD Bank statement and I see what the federal government has put into my account, when I'm not 61, but maybe it's 2 years later, it will be far less than I expected and far less than what I paid in. And I'll be very disappointed. Hmm. And or in 2032, the federal government will do something to fix it. Which one's going to happen?
Well, this is a tough one, isn't it?
Well, I feel like we talk about this every year and this year hasn't changed.
Now I'm actually worried. because it doesn't feel like it's so hypothetical. As you say, everyone's, you know, as you get older, you pay more attention to it. The reason why I am a little bit more concerned now is that it just feels like no one in Congress is really paying attention to this. It's sort of like, oh, we'll take care of this. So can I just, like, quick Social Security 101.
Sure.
It's a pay-as-you-go system. So the number of people working pay FICA tax, right? That line item on your pay stub. And it's a certain percentage, 6.2% of your wages up to a certain amount. That's called the Social Security wage base. Say you pay 6.2% of your wages up to $176,000 or so. It goes into Social Security. If that's enough money to pay out the benefits that are now people are collecting, great. If it's more than is necessary, we build up a surplus. If it's less than expected, we pay debt. We use that surplus up. So what happened was a few years ago, we now tipped over because we have so many baby boomers that are retiring. By the way, it's not actually their fault, but it is one of those okay boomer moments. So there are so many people that are retiring that we're using that surplus up. Right. That was developed over time. And so now when we look ahead, according to the Social Security trustees, in the year 2033, you said you're going to be 61?
Uh-huh.
Just to be clear, 2033 is my full retirement age. It's when I... That's my Social Security full retirement age. Perfect. I'll be 67.
Perfect timing.
So it's getting my attention as well. Okay, so we get to that level and what happens? Now, if nothing happens, this is a statutory cut, meaning Congress doesn't have to do anything. If they do nothing, there will be an automatic cut of benefits, according to the trustees, by 23%. So, okay, I know that seems like, let me just do the percentages for you. The average right now, the average Social Security check is $2,000. So if I'm retired right now and I'm receiving $2,000 a month, it's 2033, they don't do anything, I have an automatic cut of $460. I go to $1,540 from $2,000 a month automatically.
Hmm.
That's real.
Yeah, that's not nothing. I've always looked at this. Jill Schlesinger, of course, CBS News, Jill on Money. Go to jillonmoney.com. You can read the blog. I understand, like, if you increase the what they take out of your paycheck, that's one thing. That's a tax increase. I really don't foresee at this point, and I read your blog, I agree with you. I think raising the retirement age is the least appealing option. But there's no cap. Like, you don't stop paying income taxes when you make $2 million.
I know.
So why don't you, and you don't even have to make it, like, no cap, but, like, even if you doubled it to three, like, as you said, to 300, the problem would go away over bleeping night.
Let's say, and just to be clear, that the premise of Social Security and why the system has worked is that everybody pays in and everybody benefits. There is no means testing, right? We don't do, okay, nobody pays the tax of Social Security on their wages. The whole the conception of it was that every citizen who's working pays in. That's the deal, okay?
Right.
And so you're right. The cap right now, it's $176,100. So if we lift the cap, the problem will go away. The other thing we could do is if you say, okay, let's just pretend we think that this is we don't want to tax the people, you know, beyond a certain point. You could lift the cap, but you could also increase the tax itself a little bit. Meaning right now, the tax is 6.2% that employees and employers pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you work for yourself, you got to pay both. Okay. So what if we just said, all right, it's not 6.2, it's 6.35. That would fix a lot of it.
Yeah, I like the lifting the cap more than I like the tax increase, but that's just...
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I just feel like a lot of... You live in a state where there's some people who make a lot of money.
Yep.
So why not just say everything gets that's a deal. Like, we should have had this along the way. Why do we have a cap?
I think ultimately...
You know, so it just seems crazy.
Ultimately, my biggest problem is that when... Our culture shifted away from pensions to 401ks. We didn't force people to do it, and the dependency on Social Security with this pending generation. I'm on the fence, but the people younger than me, almost none of them outside of the public sector have pensions, and they're underinvested for their retirement, and they're going to need this more than ever.
Yeah, there are a lot of issues around this. I'm happy to talk to you more about it. But what I can tell you is that the shift that we had from private funded pensions to a 401k, some of the problems of that idea were masked by a huge bull market from 1982 to 1999. It was like the mirage. Like, I'm better off because I don't have a pension. I remember I was a financial advisor, and I was actually hosting a radio show in New England.
Ooh.
And I remember getting calls from people who say, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I work for the University of Connecticut, and I have a pension, and I wish I had a 401k, or I wish I had this. And you would be like, what are you, crazy? One's a guarantee, and one, you take all the risk.
I can remember in 2002, one of my colleagues at the NBC station in Connecticut, he had just got married. He's like, he just got hired. And he's like, I am not putting anything into my 401k. He wouldn't even take the match. He's like, I need the money. I need the money now. And that attitude.
Well, some people do need the money. I get that.
But I think you have to actually act as if the money's not there. You have to force.
You know what the problem is? We also, just to be clear, we needed to have a automatic contribution, which we do have now. There's an auto enrollment. We needed to have an automatic enrollment, and we needed to have a mandate that if you were a company that had less than 50 people, that we would have some other way for people to save for retirement that was automatic in that way. Because small companies are basically, were really kind of blew it for their employees. They just didn't have the system in place because it was too expensive for a long time.
Yeah. You worried about the markets with the overseas turmoil?
Dude, there's nothing going on. It's so weird. It is bizarre. It is unnerving. That's what I can tell you.
Yeah.
Futures are like doing nothing. Crude's up 1%. Remember last week I told you like we benefited from the fact that crude oil actually was drifting down heading into this period? You know, for the last month, crude oil is up 21%. For the last year, even with all the moves through Friday, crude oil is still down by 9%.
Yeah.
And oil prices now translating into gas prices, you know, AAA says that gas prices are $3.22 a gallon. It's down from about $3.50 last year.
Yeah,
so
but it's up,
incredible.
But it's up, you know, month over month and week over week.
But still, I mean, like, that's the reason why you don't really, I don't know, it's very strange. It is unnerving to me because I always look for this market reaction. Maybe there won't be. Maybe we'll somehow escape this. I don't know. But, you know, amazingly, we are down 23 cents a gallon from a year ago.
Jill, have a great week. Thank you.
Take care, buddy.